This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, it's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. So I mentioned the murder. No, we don't know how the woman died in Ballard Commons. I don't know that it was a murder. But there have been so many other crimes just in our region. A woman was found on the side of the road. I think earlier I said Steilacoom. I meant to say Spanaway. But a woman was found on the side of the road in Spanaway, and she had been shot and was murdered. That was just before 10 o'clock last night that her body was found. And then this morning, 8 o'clock, Pioneer Square, a man was shot in the hip, and he said it happened in one of the tents in the homeless encampment over in Pioneer Square. So 8 a.m., as people were just on their way to their offices, those who still work in offices downtown. How about that Amazon announcement that they're going to allow most of their office workers to work remotely indefinitely? Which to me is another sign of what we talked about a few days ago. Amazon's getting out of Seattle. And by telling all of the office workers that if you want to work from home indefinitely, a very good friend of mine got a job at Amazon, I think it was about a year ago, 1 or 2 years ago. I think it was just a year ago. But he thinks he's going to be working from home indefinitely. And that's what Amazon just announced. I mean, he told me that months ago. But I do believe this is yet another sign of Amazon's pullout of Seattle. They're going to go to the suburbs. They're going to go to Redmond. They're going to go to Bellevue. They're already building things up in Arlington and all around the region. But the pullout of Seattle is happening. And if Seattle continues to descend into crime as it continues to elect politicians, and whew, this Nicole Thomas Kennedy, if she gets elected city attorney, then it's all crime all the time in Seattle, if that happens. But right now, she looks like she has a chance to win. No more misdemeanor crimes. You can shoplift to your heart's content in Seattle. And think about that. The people who work in the stores, they've been told to not intervene if somebody shoplifts. And the criminals are told that you won't be punished if you shoplift. What do you think's going to happen? We told you about that open market that was down on 2nd Avenue a couple of months ago, where shoplifted clothes from Nordstrom and Target and other downtown retailers, it was hanging on fences with the tag still on it. And they're selling the stuff for less than 50 cents on the dollar. I'm guessing they weren't paying their dues to government. And I bet it was unpermitted. And I bet they're not paying taxes on their sales. When you have drug vagrants stealing with impunity, and that would be the law of Seattle. And this is not an exaggeration. If Nicole Thomas Kennedy gets elected, the law in Seattle will be that retailers won't be able to stop you because of their company policies, and government law will not be able to stop you because misdemeanor crimes will no longer be punished or even on the books, possibly. She might just abolish them. She calls herself an abolitionist. And we know it's coming. It's going to be some anarchy. Some people deciding to defend themselves, defend their own property. We're going to see some vigilanteism. It's going to be ugly. I'm telling you. And people say, well, you're just stoking fear. No, I'm calling it correctly, just as I've done for the last 26 years. I mean, everything we've talked about, the pathway that we've been on, has come to fruition. It's turned out to be true. And as I've said a million times, and I'll say it a million more, I'll put our track record of years ahead of the game, saying exactly what was coming to our region. And I think that's why our show does as well as it does, because people now recognize the validity in what we tell you, because a lot of people are just afraid. They're afraid to not just to say anything that the masses seem to disagree with. I don't care who agrees or disagrees. I'm just going to tell you what, you know, my perception of the world perceives to be the truth is. And that's turned out to be accurate most of the time here. So this is what's coming right now. From the text line, what would happen if we made all drugs illegal again? How many new prisons would we have to build? Do short prison stays help offenders to rehab and mend their ways? Should we emphasize punishment or rehab? Why doesn't China have any poverty or drug problems? Well, I'm going to leave the China thing out of it. But what we should have is rehab is always the first option. And then we have punishment. But the punishment also should have a rehab component that, yeah, we'll lock you up against your will because you've broken our drug laws. But we will also invest in trying to get you the drug treatment that gives you a chance to be clean. But we're not going to let you sit in tents shooting and stabbing and raping each other in Pioneer Square and Ballard Commons and Spanaway and all around the region. We're just not going to allow that anymore. And you have two choices. You can get treatment, which we'll provide you, or you can go to jail, which we'll provide you. But this billions and billions and billions of dollars that we've spent, if we got back to the basics of what worked. And then everybody always says, well, what we were doing wasn't working. So let's try legalizing drugs and legalizing shoplifting. Well, what we are doing is the greatest disaster that we've ever seen in this region. So stop with the what we used to do wasn't working, because it was a whole darn sight better than what we have going on now here. And I know that everybody knows that. Most just don't have the guts to say it for whatever reason. Okay, let's get into the fastest 15 here, including Nicole. Did you get any trick-or-treaters at your new condo home last year?
I wasn't in here yet. I didn't get here till November.
Seriously?
Yeah, it hasn't been a year yet.
Wow. I thought it'd been more than. Okay.
I probably won't get a lot. There's not a lot of kids here and we're gated, so
yeah.
I think I'll get a lot.
See, we rarely get trick-or-treaters because our neighborhood doesn't have sidewalks and we have kind of a long driveway. And we used to, when my girls were little, we had a bunch of parents and we'd get together and the dads would all carry flashlights and we'd just try to safely escort the kids and make sure we're waving our flashlights if there's a car coming at us. But yeah, we might get one or two. Last year we had one girl, she looked like she was about 17 years old and she wasn't wearing a costume. She just wanted some candy. What? Is this really how it works now? But we have just found out that Halloween is being canceled at one Seattle school because of equity. A Seattle elementary school has canceled Halloween activities because of concerns over student equity and inclusion. And the Seattle Public Schools say black males do not celebrate and generally students of color feel marginalized by the holiday. One parent thinks it's an exercise in affluent white vanity that is wokeism. And we know where we're going with all of this. You know, it's to take joy. Halloween was always kind of a drag when I was a kid, because I couldn't afford a decent costume. I remember one year my mom bought like this Yogi Bear costume at Wigwam. Whew! Think Wigwam could survive today in these politically correct times? There were Wigwam stores when I was a little kid. But the Yogi Bear is like a 99-cent costume. It was the thinnest fabric imaginable. And then just one of those dopey plastic masks with a...
Which you now have. Right?
That's right. Drew gave me. Our friend
awesome.
Drew, who worked on the show.
But that was a thing. I mean, that might have been cheap, but that's the way they were back then, right? And I mean, they were that way in the 80s.
No, it was like 30 degrees out, and all I had on I was about 8 years old. I had on a pair of briefs and the thinnest Yogi Bear costume material over the top of me. I was frozen.
Layer.
Oh, I was just frozen out there. I don't have good Halloween memories. Maybe it's a good idea to cancel Halloween. But yeah.
No.
I know. They told Jason Rantz, it's at Benjamin Franklin Day Elementary, BF Day, in the Fremont neighborhood. And they usually have Halloween festivities. They have a pumpkin parade where students wear costumes, if they choose. But the school administration says that they are now changing their focus to foundational beliefs around equity for our students and families. And so they are canceling Halloween. This reminds me of many years ago, we broke a story on our show. A teacher who was a volunteer, she was doing her student teaching at a Seattle school. And they were going to have Easter eggs. And, you know, they're the plastic two-part Easter eggs. They were going to put stuff in them and then decorate some others. And the teacher in the classroom or the school, I don't remember which one, said, no, we can't call them Easter eggs. They're spring spheres. And that's what I knew. That was about, oh man, 10, 15 years ago. But that was the leading edge of the insanity that seems to grip our region when we started calling Easter eggs spring spheres. So now BF Day Elementary, they sent out a newsletter. Halloween events create a situation where some students must be excluded for their beliefs, financial status, or life experience. Costume parties often become an uncomfortable event for many children, and they distract students and staff from learning. Large events create changes in schedules with loud noise levels. Some students experience overstimulation, while others must deal with complex feelings of exclusion. It's uncomfortable and upsetting for kids. Is it really? Uncomfortable and upsetting for kids? Or are adults just pretending that it's uncomfortable and upsetting so that they can inject their ennui into the kids? And the beat goes on, man.
Oh, we have audio if you want.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, where's my audio on this? Let me dig that up here. Hold on, I'm refreshing.
And I don't buy that excuse either, because it is so cheap to make a costume. I could come up with 20 costumes for my closet, I'm sure. You can get creative. It encourages creativity for kids to come up with their own costumes.
Yeah, but so many costumes, if somebody knows that you wore them, if they find out in 30 years that you wore the costume, you'll be canceled for that. I remember one year I had to look like a beard. We would do this. I remember a bunch of my buddies would do this too. To make it look like you had a beard, you would put like Vaseline on your face and then coffee grounds. And an 8 and 9 year old could look like they had a beard. All right, Dave.
Oh, sorry, really quick, but growing up, my mom was very creative with our costumes. But then when I got to, you know, middle school, late elementary school, my friends and I would go as babies every year, and we just wore pajamas and carried bottles.
It's terrible.
But that's how easy it is. Yeah. But now everybody wears pajamas to school anyway, I guess. So.
Yeah, exactly. David Malkin told Jason Rantz that this Halloween cancellation is meaningless.
First of all, I don't see any way in which this actually addresses any inequities to the extent that there are any inequities. You know, this just seems like grandstanding on behalf of, you know, the principal and the staff who are predominantly white. It doesn't really address any issues, and it's counterproductive to any kind of equity in the sense that, you know, number one, Halloween, like many other events, helps bring people together, mm-hmm. Helps, you know, unite the community, and has a lot of other good redeeming qualities that everyone benefits from. And, you know, the reasoning is also suspect, incoherent. You know, if this is the standard they apply, that anything that creates any kind of disadvantage for someone needs to be canceled, then, well, you know, we can use that reasoning to cancel everything, you know.
And this dad says it's just about an adult's agenda, not anything that is truly meaningful for the kids.
It's about a very left-wing agenda, and it's about getting there in a sort of totalitarian manner. You know, I didn't get any notice about a discussion with parents, you know, and I happen to be, you know, one of the few minority parents there. No one asked me, is Halloween excluding you? It is just sort of a march towards whatever agenda they have. And like you said, it's not consistent with their other policies or how they approach other events.
And so the beat goes on, but man, we're just telling kids that they should be miserable at everything that used to provide joy in childhood. And what a sad thing for us to be doing to our kids. Next up in the Fastest 50. They say it is the second most played Rolling Stones song ever. And I've told you that I am the worst person on the planet at interpreting song lyrics and knowing what they actually mean. And I've heard this song, Brown Sugar, I don't know, 500, 1,000 times in my life. If somebody said, hey, Dory, you know what the song's about? I would say, yeah, it's the sweetener that you often use in baked goods. I had no clue. I can only interpret song lyrics if they are literal. And I've told you, the only two song lyrics that I can understand, the Pina Colada song, he wants a divorce, she wants to split up, and oh, they found each other and they fell back in love. Okay, I can follow that because it's very linear and literal. And then Devil Went Down to Georgia. Devil has a fiddle duel with Johnny. Johnny wins. Johnny gets a fiddle made of gold. Devil says, I'll come back. I'll get it from you sometime. Johnny says, okay, I'll take you on again. Those are the only two songs that I understand. The lyrics. I cannot interpret song lyrics. So I had no idea what Brown Sugar was about until I found out last night that it has been canceled. The Rolling Stones, they are embarking on yet another tour right now. And even though this is one of their biggest hits of all time, they are canceling the song Brown Sugar because I read the lyrics and I thought, well, you know what? If you're a 75-year-old guy like Mick Jagger is, it's just creepy to be singing those lyrics.
Support this cancellation. I actually can't believe that this has been playing on the radio for however many years.
Did you know what it was about?
I had no idea. But honestly, I never hear the lyrics and for maybe the chorus. But
yeah, like, I'm the exact
I never really
same
hear
way.
All the other lyrics, but yes. This one's pretty bad, and I support him stopping.
Yeah, so I read the lyrics and why they're canceling it, and I thought, okay, and you know, I understand. Back in the 60s when the song was written, I think it was 69 or 70, and all these guys are 27, 28 years old, and then it's kind of age appropriate. But 75 and you're still singing this?
No.
No, that's not
Stop.
Right. It's one of the first, yeah, I'm with Nicole. It's one of the first cancellations that I might actually agree with. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast Dory's Fastest 15.
If you give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. All right, coming up next, Brock Huard, his live Wednesday visit is henceforth. Right after we check the news here on the Dory Monson Show.
It's Hump Day with Huard.
Blue in it, check. Brown, 24, Razor.
Brought to you by IRG Physical and Hand Therapy on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. Where the 12s hear the Hawks.
Play fake to Penny Russell, lets it go. Down the far sideline, reaching up, making the catch. Touchdown, Seahawks!
Here's Dory Monson.
Yes, it is Wednesday afternoon, and Brock Huard joins us live in the midst of quite an event at the Huard household.
Yeah, busy night tonight, Dory. Wish you were here.
I know.
Wish you were still just a drive away.
Well, this is a cause that, you know, my wife and I are very much behind.
Yes, you are, and have supported with Compassion International and our challenge to fill the stadium. We've talked about this. You've supported it. Fillthestadium.com. You can find all the details. And we're coming down the home stretch, my friend. We are trying to fill a stadium of 70,000 kids. That's what Compassion felt through the pandemic era that they have lost in sponsorships of kids, about 70,000, which is the size of an NFL stadium. And we're at about 66,000 of those seats filled.
Really? So, that's a big jump from the last time I heard, because you were about halfway there the last time I checked.
Yep. So we are just down the home stretch. So we're hosting a big event at our home tonight, and it's kind of neat. I was thinking about it, actually, as I was driving to the store to pick up a few things for Molly for the evening. And I was thinking, man, Dory, like, we have so much community back in Washington, right? I mean, that's where all my roots were. And we packed up and we moved here 15 months ago. And tonight is going to be a celebration of just some new community, kind of a confirmation, really, right? And there'll be a bunch of Compassion people here, friends from Valor, friends from the church, friends from school. And it's going to be a neat little snapshot of about 15 months of just, you know, forming a new set of friendships and community and people that that are aligned with what we love and trying to help others, which will be pretty neat.
Yeah. No. And so tell people what Compassion does.
Well, they work with the neediest kids around the globe, about over 2 million kids. They have sponsored around the globe in some of the most difficult and most poverty on the globe. And we support, you know, you could traditionally with Compassion, you support a child. It's about $39 a month. They've been around for since the 1950s doing this, Dory, and have an incredible group around the globe. They pour into the poorest communities, eradicating, and now it's hunger through this pandemic as much as anything, but trying to eradicate poverty through the hope of Christ, through education, through medicine, through empowering the local churches, and just doing phenomenal work. And I've traveled to Guatemala with them. I've traveled to El Salvador with them. We got to meet our sponsored kid in El Salvador. Our family did. And you see the amount of volunteers, you see the local churches that are alive and coming alongside them to support and build facilities and empower those kids so they can break the chain of poverty that has just been so debilitating.
Well, and I think that it is, I know that you took your kids with you on at least one of those trips. And, and you know, one thing that we've tried to encourage our daughters to do is, even though I'm scared to death and nervous as can be anytime they go around the world, but it's so important when we have so much.
Yes.
It is so important for our kids to see the reality of much of the rest of the world. So, you know, one of my daughters has done two 10-week stints in the Dominican Republic with Dave Valley's organization, Esperanza, and then one of my daughters did a mission trip down to I think it was Colombia or Venezuela. Somewhere down there. And
it was Chile.
Yeah, it was kind of cold. But then I find out that they had like a 10-hour boat ride to get to where their camp was. And the river was real low, and it's the border river between whatever two countries they were in. And it got dark. And they had to pull off to the side where there were these little farms, and they had to try to communicate and ask if they could sleep on the, you know, on the farm on the banks of the river until daylight the next day. And if I had known that was going on, Brock, that was my middle daughter, and I would have had a heart attack.
Here in your cozy little bed.
Oh, my goodness.
Better to not know
exactly
all the details of what is going on, but what incredible learning and perspective, and it humbles you. And you know what you realize too, man, we have so much clutter of stuff that so often just gets in the way of humanity, caring about one another, loving one another. You know, when we were in those countries and in those developing countries, and in fact, tonight will be a kid that came out of this program in Africa, and she is now a professor in Atlanta. So she's going to share the story of what this program meant and how it broke the chain of poverty, and her family empowered her, gave her a vision, became educated, and now is changing lives, man.
Yeah, very cool. Okay, so fillthestadium.com if anybody wants to help out, right?
Absolutely. All the details there. And as I said, man, we're coming down the home stretch. Got to finish it out in the fourth quarter.
Okay. All right. One Seahawk question for you. So for the first time since he was drafted, Seahawks are going to learn what life is like without Russell Wilson. This is what surprised me. You know, they have these look-ahead lines 2 weeks out, and we can now talk about gambling in the NFL because they've fully embraced it. But before Russell Wilson was injured, the Seahawks were going to be 3-point favorites in Pittsburgh this Sunday night.
Yeah.
And now with Geno Smith, they're 3-point underdogs. And I'm thinking, really, is Russell Wilson only worth 6 points?
Correct. Correct. You know, they've got a number in baseball, a very, you know, much more number-driven sport, right, called WAR.
Yes.
Wins above replacement. It puts a valuation on what that player is worth versus a replacement player at his position. And, you know, we've said many times, like, wins above replacement for Russell Wilson, like, life with and without him. I mean, I don't know if there's a player more important in the NFL. Maybe Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. And when he's gotten hurt, you've seen him just plummet. And this will be a fascinating discovery, I think, for many of us. Take for granted what Russell has meant to this team. I think even those odds makers right there take for granted the amount of juice that he brings. Feels like a whole lot more than the touchdown.
Yeah.
And I think for the next 4 to 8 weeks, and that's the projected time he's going to be out, I think we will all learn just how valuable an asset he is.
Well, it might be a glimpse of the future, too, because he was talking about wanting out in the last offseason, and this is not a very good team right now. Their defense is awful, and now without him, and he might just try to leverage a way to get out after this season because he wants to win more championships, and this doesn't look like they're close to being a championship contender right now.
Nope, and then, you know, maybe out he goes, and in come the Kraken. Did you watch last night? Did you
take it? I had it on.
Yeah. Kind of fun to see a whole new sports franchise.
Yeah.
You were around, right? Weren't you broadcasting with Bruce King and Wayne Cody when the Mariners came on board in 76, 77?
Yeah. No, I grew up, I remember vividly when I was about 8 years old, the Seattle Totems were the hockey team then.
Uh-huh.
And I would listen to the games on the radio. And I remember my friend Christina was over at our house, and the Totems were playing the Portland Buckaroos. And she heard them say that on the radio. She goes, are they allowed to say that? I said, I think you misheard it.
How old were you when the Seahawks and the Mariners expansion franchises in 77?
Mariners, I was 14.
Okay.
Seahawks. I actually got season tickets the first year of the Seahawks, and I was 13, I believe. Up in the 300 level, I was working at a grocery store, and I bought 2 season tickets.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what you couldn't do at 13 today? Buy Kraken season tickets. That would not happen.
Yeah, okay. All right, have a great event tonight. Everybody should go to fillthestadium.com and help out a great cause. And I hope you guys have a fantastic evening.
We will. Thank you, Dory, for letting me do that, buddy. Appreciate it, and we'll chat next Wednesday.
Anytime. Brock Heward, you can hear him mornings on 710 ESPN Seattle. And we have lots more to come. It's the Dory Monson Show.
Rosa.
And we told you yesterday about this video that Vice President Kamala Harris made with what they called normal kids who were interested in space. And it turns out that the kids were all child actors who had to audition for the job. And they were just over the top child actors as they first saw Vice President Harris.
I wonder who the head of the Space Council is.
Are you kidding? The head of the Space Council is the Vice President.
Are you kidding me? I mean, these kids are so natural. But they were very natural compared to Kamala Harris. She was talking to the kids. The kids are all 12, 13, 14 years old. And she was talking to them like she was talking to two-year-olds.
You guys are going to see. You're going to literally see the craters on the moon with your own eyes.
Oh, my goodness.
With your own eyes. I'm telling you, it is going to be unbelievable.
With your own eyes. You can kind of see craters on the moon right now on a clear night when you have a full moon. But, man, she loves craters, that Kamala Harris.
I don't know what it is about those craters on the moon.
Always dream with ambition. Have big dreams.
You'll remember that?
Yes.
All right, I'll see you later.
Thank you. Man, I wish there were a couple of craters down on the U.S.-Mexico border. Then maybe Kamala Harris would go down and see what's happening down there once in a while. Well, a listener pointed out something that I meant to grab the clip yesterday, because what we talked about is they were presenting this as if it was just kids who were interested in space, not child actors. And then Kamala Harris, she comes across very phony. That's why she couldn't get above 1% among Democrats when she was running for president. 1% she could not get. But she just couldn't possibly come across as more phony than she did here. And I talked about how everything this administration does seems to be phony. They've built this weird set across the street from the White House in the executive office building. And so Joe Biden, when he got his booster shot, they were pretending it was at the White House, but it was at a set right across the street. And nobody knows why. There are lots of places in the White House where presidents have spoken to the nation, and they felt, for some reason, felt a need to build a set across the street. And, you know, the reporters who were there, they took pictures showing that it was a set. But people started to figure it out when there were spring bloom flowers outside the fake window in the fake rose garden outside of the fake White House. It was at an event last week. And the flowers don't bloom this time of year. But they were in full bloom at the fake White House. But somebody said, Dory, did you really watch the whole video? And I did, and I really meant to grab this yesterday. Because I wonder if the astronaut was even real. Because they had an astronaut talking to the kids, Shane Kimbrough. And he was telling the kids how they tell time by using space. In fact, the international clock is at the space the Naval Observatory there in Washington, D.C. But listen to what the astronaut told the kids.
And we do space, the sky, and space has been our clock for centuries. So think of the sun going around the Earth. You can tell time by a sundial.
Wait a second. The sun going around the Earth? That's what people believed maybe 500 years ago. But no, we figured out that the Earth actually goes around the sun. Some people were asking me, do you think that was a fake astronaut to go with the fake kids and the fakey vice president? I don't know. If he thought that was the simple explanation for how a sundial works so that the child actors could understand. But the child actors, all he had to do is put on their script to say, oh, that's awesome. Man, I mean, they were the most enthusiastic kids that I've ever heard in my entire life. Where are the kids? Oh, here. Listen to how natural this Q&A sounds.
So I may not always be fast to take my parents' advice, but what is the best advice your parents have given you that perhaps you can share with us today?
You know, one of the most important pieces of advice that I can offer you guys, and I want you to really remember this, never let anybody tell you who you are. You tell them who you are.
Yeah. And by the way, the production company from Canada, they couldn't even hire an American production company to do the fake video. The name of the production company in Canada that produced it, Sinking Ship Productions. I'm not making that up. Seems kind of fitting. But anyways, we just found out from an astronaut that the sun goes around the Earth. And if you believe otherwise, you're a witch! Okay, we'll check the news for you. And then Big Lead Act 2 is coming up next.